You know, I really admire your courage. You are going to attempt to read Isaiah. And I want to give you every encouragement. You can read it, one, and understand it, and maybe even love it. I'm serious. I really hope that you will understand this and see this as something you want to think about. And so I want to begin with the book of Proverbs instead of Isaiah. Proverbs 25 and verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. That's what God does. He sometimes speaks plainly. Sometimes he doesn't. And later on, after Isaiah received his commission, his call, you begin to realize that God said to him, they will hear, they will not understand. Right? They will see, they will not perceive. Because God, in his wisdom, has concealed the meaning. Then how do we figure it out? Now, this is the second part of 25 and verse 2. It is the glory of kings, right, to search out a matter. And we will be studying the book of Chronicles and Kings a little bit and ask ourselves whether they did just that. See, to many people, the Word of God is, if it is not something that speaks to the heart, I cannot understand it, it's close. Only the pastors can understand it. Not true. That's not how it works. The challenge is to understand the very nature of how God speaks, why he speaks the way he does. And remember, if everything is simple, where is the glory? The challenge is to be able to figure it out. And God, within his word, the more you study it, the more wonderful it becomes. So the total number of pages that you will be looking at after the first contact with the first 8 chapters of Isaiah is about 50 pages. Isn't that wonderful? No reaction. Now that is my biggest fear. So I want to encourage you, remember, on the part of God, he will conceal it. On our part, it is our glory, whether we are kings or we are not. That's not a point. The point of it all is that even if you are a king, you cannot discover it aright, just like that. No, I hear so many people doing so well in their studies. They get 6 A's, they get 7 A's, and then. And when it comes to God's word, I don't understand. And they are satisfied with it. That's not how it should be. And I think that the study of God's word is no harder, maybe a little bit, than your O and your A levels. If you just put your heart and your mind to study it, can you really understand it? Yes. And many of you, more than just O level, A level, you have got a bachelor's degree, you've got a master's degree, some of you have a doctor's degree. Why cannot we try and understand God's word? Right? In your place of work, you are praised for your enterprise, for your initiative, you get rewards, you have dividends. And they come to God's word, yeah, very hard. And that's it. Please don't. So bear in mind 25 and verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. So much of Isaiah is concealed. Where is the challenge? To understand it, to search out a matter. And this is what I want to try and do with you at a study with you in the book of Isaiah. And I want to say this to you. You will find that it is not so hard. I'm not saying it's easy, okay? I'm just saying it's hidden. Not so hard. You can understand it, yes. And I'm not saying that you will be able to memorize it, but you can sure understand it and say, you know, it's applicable. It's for real. It's important. Okay, so I hope that eyes will be open, ears will be cleaned out, and then everything else, and then we will understand the Lord's word. Now, Isaiah is, as I said, since it's concealed, you got to figure out the parts. It's just like when you buy a jigsaw puzzle. No point, it's already done for you. And then just paste it out. No point. The real fun is to be able to take it apart and then put it back. There is the glory of it all. And it can be challenging. It's going to take patient work. So I'm just going to I am not going to give you special outlines. Preaching outlines. I'm just going to give you study outlines. I'm going to show you what it is that each chapter contains. And hopefully by the end of camp, we would have read Isaiah 1 to 8 with some level of understanding. And you'll be going home so happy to sign up for next year. And it really will be quite exciting as you look at it. Okay. Now, at the camp itself, you see this verse, the vision of Isaiah, and then talking about the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. The morning Bible study will explain this one verse. So many things to discover, and you will find it's quite exciting, right? So I hope that you will look at it. But this is what Isaiah is all about. I want to explain to you what this is. Why is it called a vision? Now, in primary school, you do that, don't you? There are four pictures. Picture one, a man or a boy with a tree. Then the second picture, a tree, and then some fruit on the ground. And then the third picture, there's a dog and a big man chasing them. And then the fourth picture, the boy runs for his life. Then you are told, okay, write an essay about it. Can you do it? Depending on where you connect, you start with the last verse, you're going to end up with a big problem. But you study it very carefully. That is what a vision is. Too many words for God to give to Isaiah. So what God does is, okay, I'm going to give you a pictures. We call it vision. Right? The only problem is that most of us, when we get up from our vision at night, our nightmares, our dreams, we cannot remember a thing. What did I remember? Then we forget. And then once you become conscious, you lose it all, unfortunately. But think about this thing. Right? So this is what we mean by a vision. Don't look for visions. This camp is not to teach you how to receive visions. Not going to happen. Right? But I want to explain to you what. Now, this afternoon, my focus is this idea in chapter 1. And see this phrase here, the Lord has spoken. When God speaks, who should hear? The very heavens should hear. The earth should hear. Now, this is the chapter, the thought in chapter 1. Now, a lot of times, people are not used to God speaking to them. But he is. And I'm hoping at this camp, you will hear God speaking quietly to your heart. If God has to poke you, prod you, yell at you, now that is something else. But God speaks to us. The Lord has spoken. Now this is something that you want to take a look at very, very, very carefully. Okay? And of course, when we read a phrase like that, the Lord has spoken, we have to ask ourselves questions. What has he said? How has he said it? How do we respond? Just like sometimes in Singapore, we have, they will tell you, at 12 o'clock or 12 noon, a siren will sound. And it's at Singapore General Hospital area. So that's the time when people visit others. So I go down there, and I'm like almost your typical Singaporean. When the siren sounds, first, I identify. What's that? Okay, I hear a sound. Then, what do I remember? Oh yeah, there's going to be a siren. It's going to be some kind of motorist. Hear it, and carry on. Do I respond? No. Most of us, if we are honest with ourselves, are like that. We don't respond. Isaiah says, listen, heavens, hear. Earth, listen. Unfortunately, we don't seem to do that. Now, this is a doctrine that we are going to study. God speaks to his people. Question, do we listen? And I want to encourage you to listen as much as possible. Now, I've listed a number of things. This is for you to study when you cannot sleep at night in camp. You look at the notes, it might be helpful to you. Okay, when you get up in the morning, you know that it's wake-up call. What shall I do? Wake up. This is camp time. Then look at the Bible verses. Oh, yeah, okay. Psalm 19, God speaks through his creation. That's true. It's a prayer meeting. We're studying right now. Romans 1:20, God's attributes are clearly seen in creation. Does God speak? You know, some people go out there and they say, I am very inspired. I see this beautiful scenery. And then they paint. Then they're so inspired. Then you hear God speaking. Unfortunately. I really wish we would. Because God does speak. And sometimes we just don't hear. The book of Hebrews chapter 1 tells us God has spoken in various ways, sometimes in a vision, sometimes a whispered word, sometimes through an earthquake, sometimes through whatever. Now, I don't know whether you're keeping it up in touch with what's happening in the Arctic regions. What is the usual temperature of Antarctica? Usually below zero, sub-zero. Right now, what is the degree? How cold is it? As in yesterday. Singapore's weather, it is 25 degrees. It has never happened before for the longest time. So the vortex that swirls around that place there has changed. It's weakening. It is shifted over to Europe. Suddenly, Geneva Airport shuts down. What happened? It doesn't shut down. The cold weather has hit so badly. A huge ice floe, bigger than New York, has broken off. miles long, several times longer than Singapore. It has never happened before. It's broken off. Are we hearing? Are we listening? Are we responding? Something's happening. What if God is speaking to us today? Now, this is not going to be climatology. Okay, so don't worry. Are we going to study climatology? No. Do I keep in touch with those things? Yes. And I am really scared. As I listen, as I read, as I hear, as I look at all those things, and it scares me to death. What's happening? What if God is speaking to us all through all these things? Look at the world today. Right? Every country has got its own series of problems. You think God doesn't speak to all these things? What if God has spoken? The heavens hear, the earth doesn't. What if God is speaking to us even now? Can we dare we ignore what God is saying? And the more I hear these things, I keep in touch with these things, really, I am just very, very deeply concerned. God speaks in the heavens. God speaks in creation. God speaks to us through His Word. God speaks to us through His Son. And God was speaking to Isaiah. Chapter 1 and verse 3, we read, "Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth. The Lord has spoken. I have nourished, brought up children. They have rebelled against me. My people do not consider." Do God's people hear and consider what God is saying? I wish we would. And I think we all understand. All parents understand this problem. When they speak, the children have what we call selective hearing. They want to hear, they will hear. You tell them this is your pocket money, they're there. Okay, go and study. What do you say? I hear something. And they never listen. We all know that. What if this is true, God and us? So when your children don't listen to you, don't grumble. Because God has been speaking to you and you've never listened. Oh, then, oh yeah. See, you see how real Isaiah is? Isaiah uses human day-to-day observations and applies it to all the things of God, unfortunately. But think about these things here. Well, what are the children like? What are God's people like? You see, you know. Children, nourished, brought up well, right? You watch them. Fat cheeks, well-built, healthy looking, at least physically. But inside, rebellious, ignorant, unthinking, you name it. It's the same. You see the kings also like that. On the outside, from far, good, but far from good. You will see this all the time. It's very, very obvious. The nation, sinful, laden with iniquity, brood of evildoers, corruptors, forsaken the Lord, provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel, turn away backwards. And this is not about somersaulting. This is not the people very gymnastically inclined. They just turn backwards. They just go back to the old ways, and that becomes a problem. So the country, the whole country, we read a description, and it's a very sad country. Stricken, head sick, heart faints, no soundness, open wounds, bruises. You know, this is a description almost of Syria today. Take a look. This is Syria today, as we see it. And you will see Syria mentioned in the Bible too. From days of old, the problems from those days till today have not been resolved. They still haven't solved the problem, unfortunately. Right? They say, cease fire. Yeah, yeah, only with certain people who hit the other side. And this is a problem today. So what happens? You see this description today very clearly. Many of the Middle East area, many of the African nations, this is a description. Country desolate, cities burned with fire, strangers devour the land. That's it. And in danger of becoming like Sodom and Gomorrah, near to destruction. Right? And that is what we are saying. Well, this is what we're going to study as we read the book of Isaiah. I'm going to take you through that, but late when you go to camp, you must remember to bring your Bible, okay? Don't depend on the notes, because I think you know me by now. I seldom look at the notes, and I'm just giving you an idea. So don't just look at the notes. This is not a Bible. So maybe there's some typos there. This one better. So check this out very, very carefully. Now, look at chapter 1, verse we read, the Lord has spoken, verse 2, right? Now, let's take a look again. Hear the word of the Lord, 2:10. Chapter 1, verse 10. Can you see that? Now, I call this the second word. One, the Lord has spoken. Two, hear the word of the Lord. Now, on the outside, let's take a look at the religious life of the people. Okay? So what do they do? They, what purpose the multitude of your sacrifices to me? So they keep coming to the temple, they make offerings, one after the other, many, many different kinds, right? And verse 12, when you come to appear before me, right? And so and so forth. What is it all about? What did the Lord want them to hear? The rulers, the people, the assemblies, the special services, the New Year's, everything that was there. And God said, stop it. Now, the second word. One is a word, you're not listening. The second word, you think you are worshiping, you think you are serving, you think you're doing it. And God says, I'm sick of it, all these things. That is a sobering second word. A rejection of all the things that they were doing in the nation. Page 4. Wow. That's serious stuff. So that becomes a very, very, very big problem. Now, here is a third word. Okay, one, let's look at verse 21. Verse 18, come, let us reason together. Verse, can you see this? Let us reason together. Verse 24, the Lord says, God speaks again and again and again. So does God speak to his people? The answer is yes. Can you see this? So if you were to take a look at chapter 1 of Isaiah, you can understand it. One, the Lord has spoken. We establish God speaks to his people. Two, we establish all the things we do, God evaluates what we do. It may be worth nothing much. Right? It's just like whole country's junk. It becomes reduced to junk status. Junk bonds. They're worthless. Zimbabwe was printing notes, $1 million. Right? If you want to go on a fishing trip, you need $100 million. How much is that worth? That was $200. You will be a multi-billionaire there in Zimbabwe. Junk. This is banana money. This is wasted. That's what the people, God was giving to them a second word. Okay? So look at 21 to 31, and then we see this. The Lord speaks to the people, and he says how the faithful city has become a harlot. Therefore, the Lord says, this is what it's all about. So we see a third word. And this time, God says he will discipline the people, he will purge the people, and he will turn against the people before he restores them. Now, I just want to establish with you, you see, you take a look. You can understand Isaiah, just that you don't want to understand it because it's scary. Even the Lord has been speaking to me and I've not been listening. Yes. Uh-oh. And we are scared. But I've been involved in serving here, serving there, and God says, what are you doing? You see, so when we talk about does the Lord speak to us, the answer is yes. Now, I just want to help you to understand what this is all about. Okay? So that when we go to the family camp, hopefully there will be no withdrawal after today. Right? But you know you're excited. Hey, you know what? I can understand Isaiah. Well, I have, to help you to understand, there are about 50 pages of notes, so that's plenty, right? Then 16 poems written just to encourage your heart. I think I better stop there. We'll only be reading 8 chapters. How many times have I read Isaiah 1 to 8? At least 8 times. Okay, but I'm just wondering, can we understand it? The answer is yes. How wonderful. I don't know whether you would like to go away thinking, what if God were to speak to your heart? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? No, seriously. No, a lot of people want God to speak to them, and then God never speaks to me. Now, I think the problem is not that God doesn't speak to you. It's just like one person was always complaining, I never see my pastor's eyes. So the person explained, why? You see, when my pastor prays, he closes his eyes. So I never see my pastor's eyes. And when he begins to speak, I close mine. So I never see my pastor's eyes. Now, I know that some of you think, I will concentrate by closing my eyes. Don't. Now, let me warn you first, because I tried that too. It didn't work. And before, yes, I would now concentrate very hard. And then the facial muscles relax, and then you're gone. The Lord has spoken. Heaven has heard, the earth has heard, you are not there. Is what God's saying important? No, I love the way God speaks to us. I like, for example, in 1:18, I love this verse. You see, look at this. Come now, let us reason together. Most of us reason. We reason with our friends, right? We reason with our doctors, give us one more day of MC. We all reason. We reason. You know, giving me antibiotics. I don't know why people want to take that so much, but you know, we always reason. And we don't realize that one of the ways in which God speaks to us is reason. Come now, let us reason together. You cannot reason with yourself, you always win. If you reason with yourself, you always win. You reason with God, a different story, different conclusion. Come now, let us reason together. And God's way of reasoning is far better than ours. Look at verse 18. Come now, let us reason. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. By the way, there is nothing whiter than snow. Think about this, right? Look at this. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There we go. So God speaks to us through our reason. And I want to encourage those of you who have reasoning faculties. God speaks to you through your reason. If only we will hear what God says. Can you imagine? Well, how can something scarlet and red be changed like that? You can't. God can. How wonderful it is to know that God does not wish to condemn. He just wants to help us out wherever we are. Can it be done? Yes. Okay? We're going to read further. If you are willing, if you are obedient, but if you refuse and rebel, there is the line of reasoning. Always, reasoning has got two parts. If we reason right, if we reason wrong. And if we choose right, if we choose wrong, there is always that choice given. Go ahead. And God reasons with us. And He says, I will help you. So whenever I listen to the Lord, when I talk about listening to what God is saying, I am really, really, really happy to see this. Now, from time to time, we will take a look at comparing texts. So there will be a few psalms which we will see from David, and they're very, very important. David was a second king. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, they cannot be compared with the reign of David. Look at what David found when he listened, responded to God's word. Look at Psalm 19, last page, page 6, right? Let's take a look at these things here. And it's just wonderful, right? And so from Isaiah, we read, hear, give ear, reason. And David was one of the few people who really listened to the Lord and His word, and this is what he found. And he wrote it beautifully, Psalm 19. Okay? So 7 to 11. So every time we pass a 7-11, before you go in, recite. Right? Recite to yourself. Word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And you will be surprised how wonderful this word is. Take a look at it, Psalm 19. And this is absolutely wonderfully uplifting. Right? Let's take a look. Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect. Remember, the word of God comes from Him. What can it do? What is it like? And look at His response. And that is wonderful. The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It brings light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. That is what he discovered about the Word of God. In its generic nature, this is what it is. It's wonderful. In its power, look at that. It can convert the heart. It can rejoice the heart. It can enlighten the eyes. It can do all those things and more. The challenge is to make a response of this kind. More to be desired are they than gold. That is the challenge. right? If people would, this is important, in America, they have got this, you know, in Tibet, when they choose the Dalai Lama, they will always look at it very, very carefully. They will give the boys bright toys, very attractive. And then the things of the Dalai Lama of old, and the child has never seen it, then they will watch. If the child looks at all the things which are bright and cheery, they will know this one not going to be the next Dalai Lama. But if this child looks at these things, all the artifacts of the Dalai Lama, his scrolls, his beads, his ropes, then they will say, most likely the Dalai Lama is going to be this one. In America, they tried to do the same thing. What will the child be like when he grows up? Okay, one, Bible, choice. Two, whiskey and a stack of $100 bills. Which one would he choose? If the boy chooses the Bible, he's going to be a pastor. If the boy chooses the whiskey and the money, he's going to be a businessman. Then he called or saw one boy, grab both. He's going to be a politician. What is our response? Unfortunately, that's how it works sometimes. We don't know how it works, but this is what it is. What is it? And I hope in your heart, more to be desired. Think about it. Now, I am not saying that after today, your favorite book is Isaiah. I think that's a little bit far-fetched. The student pastors didn't pray enough. Is that going to happen? It's not their favorite book either, so don't worry. But we all understand it. The Word of God is really simply the Word from the Lord to your heart. And it can make all the difference in the world. I like the response. More to be desired. From the Word of God, your servant is warned. The keeping of the Word of God, great reward. And he says, cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Don't let them have dominion over me. That is a great response. Now, this is what I want to encourage you to consider as you prepare your heart to come to camp. Okay? By all means, bring the children, go out there, have a swim, walk around. By all means. I mean, this is good for the kids so that they grow up. This is just wonderful. So little Della, she was there when she was a little baby. Because during the time, and I used to carry her, and she always points the direction to which to go. So that's as she was controlling me all the time. Where to go, what to do. Now she's, I cannot carry her now. She's taller than me. But you see, it years. And those years can be very, very meaningful. I think that's absolutely wonderful. So please, but have some time for yourselves. Right? Have some time in the afternoon session, more than question and answers. We will have a little bit of time to pray. Maybe we ought to pray about, have I been listening to God? What's my regard to God's word? How should I respond? Maybe God is speaking to your heart. I'm asking for a time for response. That is something good to consider. Right? So in the evening, I will be bringing word after word from chapter. This afternoon is chapter 1. On Sunday night, it will be chapter 2. Read ahead. What's chapter 2 like? So Sunday, and then, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then we are done already. and then camp's over. There is so much that God wants to say to us. You know, people who have long lost friendship, don't see each other, they talk to each other, they talk the whole night through. Don't know what they say, you know, it's how it is. One day there was a person traveling on board a plane in the UK, the tube. And this person was really angry because the lady, young lady in front of him, picked up the phone and talked 1 hour nonstop. He was so angry by the time the thing was done. He tweeted to everybody, what a terrible journey it is. And this person talked nonstop. They can talk and listen at the same time as only girls can. By the time it was over, the journey ended. So, you know, he even tweeted, he picked a photograph. All the news hounds were out there waiting to take snapshots of this young lady who talked for 1 hour. And then the person, you know, short story writer, wrote down there, what do we learn from this? You know what was the answer? It's not about the girl. It's about how sometimes little things irritate us so badly. And it affects not only us, but 100 news hounds were out there picking out this angry, rude, and for the next few days, everybody was commenting on the same thing about rudeness and rudeness. And his topic was rudeness. Not just the girls, but the men and everybody else. Sometimes when God speaks, the message is concealed. Our part is to search it out and ask, what is God saying to me now? Has He spoken? Have I not listened? What is He saying? Why am I not listening? If I am to listen, how should I respond? Now, this is why Isaiah is so important. Because it says God has spoken. God continues to speak. And He's looking beyond the external, the peripheral, to what is in the heart of it all. Why are you doing all these things here? Why are you doing all this? And one must ponder and ask, what am I doing? Is God speaking to me? And if so, what is that word? I think that is important for us. So we're going to study Isaiah, raising these questions all the time. And, you know, read it. And I'll be happy to take it up with you. What is chapter 2 like? Find out. Sunday at the camp, figure it out. Okay? Think about this thing. Well, let's pray together. This afternoon as we pray together, I'm really going to ask you once again to just prepare your heart. If God has spoken to you, what has He said? What do you think God wants to say to you? You know, God is a wonderful God, and He actually speaks to us. He speaks to us when we are older, when we are scared about the future, about a failing health. He speaks to us when we are young, when we are struggling with our life. He speaks to us all the time. The problem is, we don't know how to hear God's voice. Now, at this particular camp, I want to tell you, God is speaking to you. Open your heart, your mind, your reason. Let Him reason with you. Let Him address your heart, your mind. you'll be surprised how wonderful it is to hear God speaking to our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for the joy and for the challenge of hearing you speak to us. Help us to look forward to that. Help us to read your word, to understand it better, and then to hear your voice speaking to our hearts. Bless us as we take a bit of time for fellowship over tea, and then bless, Lord, as we commence the camp next Sunday. Bring those who are traveling from Australia, from India, from Myanmar safely. We pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.